Thank you, Brady. If you've marked your song books, if you would please open your Bibles to the text that Benson read in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at that text and try to make some application to our own lives here in just a moment. I'd like to encourage you, if you're able to be with us during our second period of worship as a church later this morning. We're going to look at a character that we don't know an awful lot about. We don't spend a lot of time talking about him because there is not very much that is said about him in Scripture. And we're going to look at Joseph of Arimathea. But there are some things I think that we can learn as we look at the life of Joseph of Arimathea and what Scripture has recorded that can offer some good lessons to us, both positive and negative in some respects. In Mark chapter 1, let's begin looking at in verse 35 again, and we'll read the same text that Benson read for us down through the end of the chapter. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. I'd like us to notice, first of all, some things about the leper that is recorded in this particular text. Notice, first of all, what is evident simply by his identification as a leper. The disease of leprosy was something that was a painful and dreadful kind of disease. It is something that had a social stigma attached with it, in the fact that one who had this disease would likely have it for the rest of their life. It would be something that they would have to be cut off from normal society because of it. We understand that typically one who was a leper would have to even announce his leprosy to others so that they might not accidentally become in contact with the leper, so that they might get the illness as well. So this is a horrible kind of condition that this man finds himself in. But I want us to notice, as verse 40, the first part of verse 40 points out, he had an admirable demeanor. He came to Jesus, he knelt down to Jesus, and he begged him for help. Now, I don't know what this man had previously seen about Jesus, what he had learned before, whether or not he had heard others. If we look in the verses up above where we began reading, it's evident that he had performed other kinds of miracles, and perhaps this man had heard about those things. Maybe from a distance he had seen him teaching or heard various things that had gone on. But nonetheless, he's humble in his demeanor. He recognizes he's not in a position that he can cleanse himself, but he looks to one greater than himself to be able to resolve his problem. And then I call to your attention the request that he makes in the last part of verse 40. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." What a wonderful demonstration this is on the part of the leper. It is not a matter of doubting the ability of Jesus. It's not a matter of thinking, well, maybe you can, maybe you can't. Instead, he recognizes it is an issue of whether or not Jesus chooses to, is willing to heal him. And I think that is very powerful for us, and we'll touch on that again in just a moment. I want us to notice, though, the Lord's response. Because verse 41, the beginning of the verse, tells us that he was moved with compassion. If we understand the nature of Jesus as God in the flesh, what a remarkable thing it is that he, as wonderful and as grand and as powerful as he is able to be moved with compassion by the problems of his own creation. You know, when you think about the vastness of this universe, and you think about, as Scripture tells us, that God fills heaven and earth, when God becomes flesh in Jesus Christ, it might be easy for us to imagine that the problems that we have would be so relatively small compared to all of the things in the vast universe around us. And yet, what a remarkable thing it is that our Creator can be moved with compassion by the things that we struggle with. We sometimes lose sight of that. We sometimes doubt that. And yet, in this simple example of this healing, we should see in Jesus' response that very disposition. He cares. He is moved, whether you're talking about the leper, whether you're talking about earlier in the chapter, those who were demon-possessed or had various diseases. He's moved by us as well with the things that we go through. Whether we are talking about the troubles of life or we are talking about the biggest enemy that we face, and that is the problem of sin, he is moved with compassion by our condition. But then I want you to notice that the Lord stretched out his hand, also in verse 41, and he touched him. I don't think I'd ever thought very much about that until working on the commentary some years ago. And I don't think it had ever really hit me what Jesus does in that kind of circumstance. You know, because typically, as I mentioned, this disease of leprosy would be the kind of thing, if you encountered someone who was a leper, you might leave some supplies for them or you might be generous to them in some way, but no way in the world would you give them a hug or offer them something in which you literally came in contact with them. Not only because it would be something in which you might fear that you would contract their illness, but also simply because it would make you ceremonially unclean. Jesus, however, it's very interesting because as God in the flesh, who is capable of conquering any kind of problem, any kind of disease, that's not even an issue with him. So he touches this leper. And it's interesting because one might say, well, in doing so, he makes himself unclean. I don't know if we could really argue that. Because as it describes the fact that he immediately cleansed him of his illness, he healed him there in verse 42, was there ever really even a time in which he came in contact with that which was unclean? Because his touch healed the man. And I want us to just think a little bit about this as we consider what this teaches us. But I want us to notice, finally, before we make some application, that the Lord gives him an instruction. And there are some interesting things about this. He tells him there in verse 44 to say nothing to anyone. There's a lot of debate sometimes about why it is that Jesus will sometimes say this. You know, we might imagine, well, you know, someone who is wanting to become a prominent figure, someone who wants people to believe in him, he certainly would want people to know what he's capable of. And so he would broadcast it. He'd tell people, go and tell your friends. But that's not what he does. He offers this command to silence. Now, we can speculate a little bit about why that may be. We recognize, as it mentions in this very reading, that when, in fact, people don't keep that instruction and they tell others, it begins to impair what he's doing. He has to stay out of the cities and they come to him from the cities. It makes it where maybe it blurs his purpose and the fact that people are wanting to come to be healed and maybe they're not listening to him in the same way. But what is interesting, he certainly, although he will be accused of often teaching the people not to follow the law of Moses, notice in verse 44 as well, he tells him to go and show yourself to the priest and to offer the sacrifice Moses commanded. He is in no way urging this man to neglect or disregard his obligations under Mosaic law. In fact, quite the contrary. Although he is God in the flesh who was instrumental in the giving of that law, we recognize that he urges this man who is a Jew, who is still under the old covenant, to follow these instructions. What we understand, though, in connection with this is, as I mentioned, so often when Jesus commands this kind of silence, it is neglected. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But while in these cases, we have no record of it being that, well, you're healed as long as you do what the Lord says and you keep it quiet. But if you begin to tell people, then it will return. Nothing's ever mentioned about that sort of thing with respect to a miracle like this. But we should note that he commands him to do something, and the people disobey. The man disobeys in these examples. Now, what kind of application could this brief account of this miraculous healing of this man have to us? I'd like us to recognize that we, while we might not have leprosy, we might not have that kind of disease that causes the same kind of social stigma or causes the same kind of pain, we are sick as well. We are unclean as well with sin. That obstacle of sin, that disease of sin that comes into our life when we, for the first time, rebel against God, is an obstacle that, just like this man, he was not able to heal his own leprosy, so he looked to one that was greater than himself. And so it is with us if we are to overcome our sin sickness, if you will. If we are to be cleansed, we too must be willing to come to Jesus. How sad it will be on the day of judgment for those who, with a proud disposition, say within themselves, I don't need religion. I don't need Jesus. I don't need to do anything like that in my life. I'm just going to live my life. If we are to be cleansed of this which separates us from God and can condemn us to an eternity in hell, we must be willing to come to Jesus. We must, like this man, approach Jesus with humility. How do you think Jesus might have responded to this man if, rather than kneeling and begging him with a humble disposition, the man had said, all right, you know, you did it to somebody else. You healed someone else. Prove that you can do that by healing me. That wouldn't be the same kind of disposition, would it? In the same way, if we are to be healed of our spiritual sickness, we must have the same kind of humility. Are we going to say to God, you know, I want to do it on my terms. I want to do it the way that I like. Or will we in humility look to God's will? What are you willing to do? What is it that you demand? What is it that I must do that I might be cleansed? You know, that's the humble disposition that we must all have if we are to receive cleansing. But notice as well, we must ask in faith, believing that Jesus is willing. Now, when I say this, certainly we look at the example of this man, and his appeal is a request for this. How is it that we appeal to God? The Apostle Peter, when he talks about baptism, he describes baptism as an appeal to God for a good conscience. It is not simply that we can ask and say, well, cleanse me of my sin, without meeting the conditions that he has set. We must repent of sin. We must confess him before men. We must be baptized into Christ, putting our faith in Jesus. But in doing so, we can't have an attitude that says, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go through the motions, but maybe there's a God, maybe there isn't a God. I'm going to do this, but you know, I'm not really sure that I want to follow everything that he says. If we're to ask in faith, if we are to appeal to God for a clean conscience through obedience to the gospel, we must believe that he's able to do what he said he can do. But we also, unlike this man that did not obey his instruction that he was given to not go out and spread it, not to tell anyone. You know, we may not understand why Jesus said that, but it was disobedience on the part of this man. It made Jesus work harder. We must obey if we are to receive the spiritual blessings, the cleansing that he promises. Now, as we think about this, we see that in this text, it parallels what we must understand about our response and our relationship to the Lord. Does he care about us? Absolutely. Last week we looked at a lesson in which we tried to focus on the importance of recognizing God's concern for our souls. He is compassionate. There, once again, in verse 41, he is touched by our troubles. Now think about that. In the same way that it would have been very easy for him just to go, you know, there are bigger problems than you have, Mr. Leper, and just go on about his business. It would be very easy for him, we might imagine, to look at our problem of sin and to just go on his way. You know, and the fact that he gave us his instruction and we violate it, we deserve what is coming to us. And yet he can sympathize. He is moved by our condition. He is moved by our troubles, particularly our troubles of sin. But we must recognize that like this situation, he is ready to help us. And notice verse 41 again. He is willing to hear us. And Jesus is able to cleanse us of our sins. How important that is for us to recognize. How important that is for us to see as we think about Jesus, as we think about what he is able to do. He will not accept our disobedience to his instruction. You know, this man, I don't understand in some cases why it is that the Lord gave these instructions not to tell, but then there was no apparent penalty, as it's recorded in Scripture, for the disobedience to that instruction. I dare say that from what we understand in the Word of God, we cannot expect that same kind of thing in our own life. If we are unwilling to obey the instruction that he gives, that very cleansing that he offers to us, we cannot trust in, we cannot hope for, if we are not willing to obey what he says to us. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, this very simple example that we see in Scripture may speak to you and may speak to me about what needs to change in our life. Because if in fact we, recognizing that we have that disease of sin within our life, are unwilling to come to Jesus as the source of that cleansing, then we can't hope for any kind of change in our condition. We can't expect that when the day of judgment comes, we will rightly receive the judgment and the consequences and the punishment for our sin. Just like this man that we read about in the healing in Mark chapter 1, will we have that humble disposition to come to Jesus and to beg of him in obedience to the gospel that he might cleanse us of our sin? I hope that we do. And if we can help you with that, won't you come while we stand and sing?